Livewire with Jeff Dorsett.
So it's a great pleasure to bring on one of the bands that's really broken through in the last 20 years and going back out on tour. They've got a brand new album as well. So welcome to Matt Willis from Busted. How are you, Matt?
Hi, yeah, I'm very good. How are you?
Yeah, excellent, thank you. Now, first thing I wanted to ask you, when you were growing up in the stockbroker belt in Surrey, what were your early inspirations, you know, in your early teens? Who were your music icons? Who were the people that you thought, that's why I want to be in the music industry?
I remember when I first heard Green Day Dookie, you know, that record really kind of like stood out to me.
Sure.
You know, it's kind of like something which I felt was just like, I don't know, it just felt real and felt like something that I wanted to do, you know. So I think that was my first kind of love, you know. But I mean, well, it wasn't really actually my first love. Was Vanilla Ice.
Right.
I was obsessed with Vanilla Ice when I was a kid. You know, like I'd copy his dance moves and I'd try to shave bricks into the side of my hair. Like, he was a big influence for me when I was really young. But moving on, it became kind of Green Day and the Chili Peppers and kind of bands like that.
Sure.
You know, and then the Foo Fighters and things like that. But then it was, you know, kind of lots of things kind of came and went, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Now when you broke through, because 2002 was where you started with James and with Charlie as well. And can you remember the very first gig you ever did as Busted?
Well, we hadn't played a gig before we got signed. So the first kind of gigs we did, basically, we had a few songs kind of recorded, and we went to meet record companies, and we play in the record company, you know, and we
sure.
And we played for like kind of, you know, what you think is the Suits, but they were far from that, you know. They were kind of like, you know, kind of cool kind of music industry people, and they'd sit back and just listen to us play. It was really awkward, but you know, those were kind of our first real kind of like forays into performing, really, for audiences. With James and Charlie, like, we'd all been in bands before, kind of playing little kind of like gigs at school and kind of like local kind of pubs and things. But then that was kind of the first thing. And then we played a showcase for like the label and kind of like music industry people at a venue in London. And it really kind of felt like, oh man, I love this.
Sure. And what about Fan Mania? I mean, you know, Busted are famous for their fans and the dedication that they have and going overboard. So what about Fan Mania as far as Busted was concerned? Any great bizarre stories as far as the band and their fans?
I mean, we had loads, you know. It was kind of like, it kind of seemed to happen out of nowhere, really. You know, and suddenly we had, me and James lived in North London together. And there'd be like 20 kind of girls outside our front gate, like most days, you know. It's kind of very kind of normal. And then I think, you know, we were on tour once and I got back into my hotel room after a gig, and like I opened with my key card and went into my room, and there was a fan in my room.
Wow. Scary.
Like, oh my god, you're here. I was like, how are you in my room?
Yes.
You know, and what do you expect to happen now?
Yes.
You know? So it was a really weird experience, you know. But we had lots of moments like that, lots of kind of crazy kind of things.
Yeah, and it's one of those things as well with Fan Mania. I mean, I can remember seeing the Beatles for the first time in 1963 and seeing Fan Mania, where people were almost jumping out of their seats and almost on the roof, you know, the way that it was. And it was one of those things as well that you never issued a song at the same time as the Rolling Stones. Beatles and Stones had that rivalry, and you either like one or the other. I actually like both of them, but the thing was, you didn't release a single at the same time. And then when you got on later on with Sweet and Slade, it was exactly the same. Sweet, yeah. Tell these great stories of fans actually ripping the bonnet of a car with their hands. I mean, unbelievable. And then you go on to Duran Duran versus Spandau Ballet. And then later on, you look at Oasis and Blur. And I suppose in many ways, Busted and McFly have that competition as well. Were there ever conscious decisions for you and the record label not to issue singles at the same time?
Well, I think it was a real timing thing with us and them, really, because they were like James was writing songs with them, like the first album. Like, James was writing a lot of songs with Tom for their record, you know. So and they were kind of our mates. They supported us on tour, but I think it just so happened that, you know, they were ready to go just as Busted was ready to pack it in, you know. So it was kind of there wasn't really much of a crossover period, really, between the two of us.
Hmm.
But, I mean, now there probably is. you know. Sure. Now there's a little bit of rivalry between the two of us.
Yeah.
You know? But I think it's very healthy, you know. So it's not in a bad way. We wish them all the best, but as long as they don't get in our way, it's fine.
do you realise as well, Matt, that how what I go to school for is such an inspiration to a lot of young bands growing up? I mean, the Vamps have mentioned how important that was to them, and I just wondered for you, you know, did you realise how important it was?
No. No, I mean, we never really realised anything like that, really. We were just kind of, like, blown away that it was all happening. You know, I mean, you write some songs in your bedroom. You know, you never really expect to be doing what you're doing. I mean, we'd all, you know, the dream was to be a big band, but I never really gave it much thought. You know, it was like, it would have been cool, but, like, there was a venue in Southend called Chinnery's.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it was, like, a few hundred people in that venue. And, like, the dream was, I really want to play that place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've still never played it, you know, but one day maybe. But then it's you know, it was that was our big aspiration, really. Well, mine, you know, like, and to kind of get songs on the radio and people to be able to buy a record in the shops was, you know, I remember when the album came out and it was kind of available in, like, you know, your HMVs and your Virgin Megastores and Woolworths and places like that. It was, you know, it was like, that was kind of everything I'd ever wanted kind of done, you know. So everything since then has just been a massive bonus, really.
Yeah, I remember shooting up and down the South End Arterial Road in a sports car. Always fun.
Trying to hit my way to
the Kurzel. Yeah, always trying to get down there and play that. Now, the album, the package that you're putting together here is quite an illustrious package that you got here, Matt Willis. I mean, and you've also featured a number of people on it. I mean, James Arthur's on it, Dashboard Confidential, The Vamps, Hanson, Weedus, as in Teenage Dirtbag. So plenty of guys have featured on it there. You must be excited. I believe that it's known as Greatest Hits 2, and, you know, fabulous stuff there. I mean, the packaging looks great.
Well, thanks, man. Thanks for giving a lot of time and care and attention to it. You know, it's funny with things like this, because you want to give people, you know, because you can go on and listen to music anywhere now.
Sure.
To buy something physical and to kind of get something physical, you know, I love that.
Yeah, you and me both.
I love it. I love having something tangible in my hand.
Yeah.
You know, and so we've actually made two albums. We've got one album which is just us.
Yep.
And one album which is full of features. You know, so we've got 15 feature artists with us on all our.
Yeah, saw that. Yeah.
And that was what was I mean, I'm not going to lie. I mean, we don't have a record company. We did this all ourselves. So it's been a logistical nightmare kind of arranging all this.
Yeah.
You know, once you kind of get to, because if you reach out to someone, they're like, yeah, cool. Speak to my manager. And you're like, oh, God. Right. Okay. Here we go. You know, so you got to kind of go for all that red tape, you know, because most of the artists just say yes because they want to do it. And then kind of like, then you got to cut through red tape and kind of get somewhere with it. So yeah. It's been a shuffling nightmare, but we kind of got it done.
Yeah, you have. Thanks very much for your time, Matt. And we wish you well, Matt Willis. And we're going to play Year 3000, which you did as a joint venture with the Jonas Brothers, because that's the radio single that are out at the moment. And we wish you well with that. It'll be a big record, I know. And the album will go well, as will the tour and everybody screaming. And we'll have more of that Fame Mania. Whether they'll be ripping the top off your car like they did with Sweet, I really don't know. But
I love that band as well. I'm trying to get the boys to cover Ballroom Blitz at the moment.
Do you know, that is such a wonderful song. I mean, I can remember.
I love that band. Like, they were my mum's favourite band.
Yeah,
The Sweet were my mum's favourite band. So I grew up, like, the first song I ever learned to sing was Wigwam Bam.
Was it really?
So, like, The Sweet was just such a big band for me, you know, like, so you know, I love them. So yeah. I'm trying to get the boys to do Boring Blitz.
And so you should, because Andy Scott's a personal friend of mine. I mean, he's been a guest on the show.
Really?
Four times he's been a guest on the show.
I'm such a fan.
And we always talk about...
Massively.
Yeah, we always talk. Sorry, Matt. We always talk about Ballroom Blitz not making number one when it should have done. It stalled at two. One of those great things with Sweet. They had a number of songs that stalled at two, like Hellraiser and Teenage Rampage. But Ballroom Blitz, it's got that wonderful opening. You know, are you ready, Mick? Are you ready, Brian? You know, the way that it comes around there. And I can remember seeing Sweet Mania for the very first time, and it was just terrific. And they were great. They were more than a glam band. Andy always wants to be a rock band, and I can understand that. So Busted, along with the Jonas Brothers, wish you well with the tour. Thanks.
to the backyard to find out if it was one of those rowdy boys.
Stood there was my neighbor called Peter and a flux capacitor. He told me he knew the time machine with the one in the film I've seen. Yeah, yeah. He said I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they lived underwater. And your great, great, great granddaughter is pretty fine. Is pretty fine. He took me to the future in the flux thing, and I saw everything.
Boy bands, and another one, and another one, and another one. Trap ball, bust a whammy, some around town, totally naked. Wind drum around in a time machine like one in a film scene. Yeah. He said I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they lived underwater. And your great to the year 3000, this song had gone multi-platinum. Everybody bought our seventh album. It had us on Michael Jackson. I took a trip to the year 3000, this song had gone multi-platinum. Everybody bought our seventh album, seventh album. He told me he built the time machine like one in a film scene.
Yeah, yeah.
He said I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they lived underwater. Yeah. And your great, great, great granddaughter is pretty fine. Pretty fine.
He said, I've been to the year 3000. Not much has changed, but they lived underwater. And your great, great, great granddaughter is pretty fine.
Not much has changed, but they lived underwater. And your great, great, great granddaughter is pretty fine.
Livewire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.